Little secret, voice control is the future. Beer, dog, music. Yikes. Skip track, please. Da, da, da. I'm hungry.
Is there only one today?
Did you say Gunderberg?
That was right. We have to start with a prayer.
Yes.
I go for refuge and enlightenment for the Buddha, the teaching, and the spiritual community. I am there listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings. I go for refuge and enlightenment for the Buddha, the teaching, and the spiritual community. By the merit of listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings. I go for refuge and full enlightenment to the Buddha, the teaching, and the spiritual community. By the merit of listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings.
You say living beings, not sentient beings. What's the difference?
Just the context. When you say sentient beings, it's a little strange to other people's ears if they're not used
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we never use that word.
Ah.
So then, but if it's talking about the mind, then you have to say sentient beings. But if it's just talking about beings in general, then we say living beings.
Sentient and opposite is insentient?
Yeah, insentient, but then people say inanimate. Usually.
Inanimate. Yeah. Animate and inanimate.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yesterday there was a clock.
Oh, is that helpful?
Yeah.
There's no way of the camera, can you put it on that side?
Yes, anywhere.
Josh, is there a reason why we don't have the backlights on? It's so confusing to my eyes. Is there a reason why there's no light over Rinpoche in the backlight?
Do you want more light?
Is it bad for the, I hate this light, this light kills me.
That light kills you? Oh, yeah, we can turn that out.
That can, and then I'd rather have the other light if possible. It's very hard on my eyes.
Let it not kill you.
That's just expression.
Well,
no, this one goes here.
Oh, only there. Huh?
Well, I don't know how to do it. Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah, probably.
No.
Yeah,
that's good. Okay. Well, what about in front of River Chain?
Yeah, there, I got it.
The central one.
Yeah.
And then the back light.
You want the back light?
Yes, please. Thank you. Now I can see. It's sunlight.
It's
not, you know, it's like fluorescent.
It's not fluorescent, it's sunlight bulb. Thank
you. I like the light off over here, that way you expect it. Now everything's okay? Let us stay for 1 minute silently. Yesterday, in two sessions, we tried to understand or have at least some idea about three turnings of wheels and also the three councils, three Buddhist councils, so that we have some historical background. And we said the first turning of the wheel is to do with four higher truths, four truths. Dembashi, and we mentioned that the Dembashi, or four higher truths, is the basic framework of the whole Buddhist teaching. So we try to go through the four higher truths today. And we start with the usual popular example, which comes from the scriptures, of course. A sick person who feels not well for a couple of days, and it persists, then naturally one feels, why this is happening to me? So try to understand what is the cause, what might have been the cause of this is trouble. Say our stomach upset. Normally people think it will go away. Something must have gone wrong with my last night's food. But then if it stays, then one starts worrying, right? So then what? To follow is to try to find out what was the cause of this trouble. Then he goes to doctor, and doctor asks to do this investigation, that investigation, this blood test, that X-ray, etc., etc. Huh? And you get a big bill. A bill from doctor is said to be the only thing it's only thing which is legible. Doctor's medicine prescription is not legible, but the bill is legible. Anyway, you get the bill, that's okay, but you find out what was wrong. And then you try to avoid food or habit or whatever was the cause of the trouble. Seeking the relief from this the sickness. So the sickness, the cause of the sickness, and avoiding the cause of the sickness and the relief. It's four things are given in the earlier texts as example of four truths. Ayadeva in his Chatushetaka, Shijapa, 400 verses, says, if one doesn't have the sense of these days to this, it says, this means this problem. How can we expect him to seek the relief or peace, Shiva, or Tarpa, liberation? So first thing is to get a sense of what you are, distastefulness. So correct, distaste. And then one gets idea of seeking tarpa. You know the word tarpa is liberation. Tarpa is liberation. It says further, normally it is difficult, the text says. Normally, for normal people, it is difficult to depart from this, means this suffering or this samsaric existence. Just as it is not easy for a person to just depart from one's home, this real home. If you have to go somewhere, you have to prepare packing and many other preparations should be made. You cannot just decide and okay, let me go to the airport to go in order to go to say India or Africa, whatever. You cannot just leave like that. So preparations are to be made, and then the main preparation for departure. I'm using departure for Nyejun. How about that? Nyejun, normally renunciation, okay? That's good, but I thought I'll use the word departure. Nyejun. Siddharth, the prince Siddharth departed from his kingdom, right? That's also Nyejun. Well, I'm not saying that's not renunciation. Anyway, the first thing is to think. The first step is to think about the faults of Tugden, Tungye Denpa, the truth of suffering, and Lamrim text, especially Tsongkhapa's Lamrim text. He uses a particular phrase. It conveys a message, particular message to me, at least to me. It says, "Go to money some." How do you translate?
Could you repeat that?
Go to money some.
Beautiful day in Baltimore, where most people probably know that Geico could save them money on car insurance, right? You see, the thing is, Geico, well, could help them save on boat insurance too.
Hi. Okay, I'm ready to come in now. Hello.
I'm trying my best.
Seriously, I'm serious. Request to come ashore.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
It works or it doesn't work? Let it be. No, from many ways, whether it's the fault of samsara, whatever, whether it is shunyata subject, whether it is emptiness and impermanence, whatever the subject is, you have to investigate and think from many different ways, applying many different methods. So therefore, the first step is to think about the fault of truth of suffering. from many ways. One way, the main way mentioned in the great texts. How do you say Shungchenbo?
Classic,
okay. Classic texts like Dharmakirti's Pramana, Vatika, and things like that. It talks Metakwa, Dungyawa, Tongwa, Dharmapa. Metakwa is impermanence. Dungyawa is suffering. You always use suffering?
Yes, I do.
Okay. suffering is okay. And Tongwa, there's Tongwa here. Okay, try to remember these four points. Impermanence, suffering. Then there's Tongwa. This is not the Tongba Nyi, it's Tongwa. It's let us use the word devoidness just to differentiate, okay? Mm-hmm. Here in this case, devoidness, tongwa, and then dagmapa is no self. These four points are important. Can somebody just repeat the four things? Anybody? Please. Metakpa, starting from impermanence, suffering, okay?
Devoidness.
No sir, yes, these four points. From these points, one should try to understand the truth of suffering. It doesn't mean suffering, oh, we are suffering, and then, depressed, and solung power.
Until you go nuts or something.
Solung pas kissing correct. Get it chan. What was the word? Huh? Depression. One can go to depression.
Or you become.
Just think. Oh, suffering. It should be thought from a little wider angle. And also interesting thing, in India I go to listen many lectures. There are great speakers, public speakers, and some pundits, very, very famous public speakers, and their basic philosophical background is Hindu philosophy, which is very complex, again, profound. He is, this particular person, he is very fond of saying that Hinduism, the approach of Hinduism is sukham, happiness. While Hinduism, the approach of Buddhism is dukkham. It's okay to mention his name. He's Dr. Karan Singh, very famous leader, political scholar, brilliant. I try to make a point all the time whenever I get chance to go to his lecture. So we mentioned four things, nitakwa. In order to think about suffering, the truth of suffering, we should think impermanence. Adhamakati says, Techir Nitale Dunge. Through understanding of impermanence, you enter into the understanding of suffering. Impermanence means what? Impermanence means impermanence. There are two categories of impermanence. One is rakpa, coarse. You say coarse?
Yeah.
Coarse way of understanding. Coarse impermanence. And fine or subtle impermanence. Rakpa and tawa. Coarse and subtle. Right? To understand or to have a way of thinking about coarse impermanence, I found in a Lamrim note, this I thought very nice way of putting. It mentions five ways of thinking or remembering the coarse impermanence. First is impermanence of destruction or dissolution. I think destruction. Jigme mitapa. We're talking about the coarse impermanence. We're not talking about anything subtle. Coarse impermanence. Impermanence, coarse impermanence is to be thought, meditated in five ways. First is jigve mitapa. Impermanence of destruction. This is very easy. It is actually, it refers to total, I mean, the actual physical destruction. I think, 25 years ago, when I fly to New York, JFK airport, when I approach to the airport, the skyline of New York, against that I see Twin Tower, first thing. That was 25 years ago. Now I come there complete, empty, there's nothing. That is Jigme Mitapa, or impermanence of destruction. Similarly, those people whom I meet, have chat and have meal together, etc., they're gone. Only their name is occasionally mentioned. So this also, in a way, is destruction. That is the first. Second is impermanence of change. Everything changes. The weather. Weather in a year, from summer to autumn. Summer, it's warm, hot, but nice sometimes. Then autumn, the leaves are falling, etc. And then winter, it's cold. In many countries, not very pleasant. And then again, wait for spring. Spring, nice, everything fresh, plants, flowers. So this is change. And people, 25 years ago, there was a baby. Now he or she is a young person. Those who are young person is now not so young. And those who are not so young have become older. And they have become old. So in that way, changes take place. Not only that, the way of thinking, attitude, behavior, the whole culture, in a way, changes in many societies. For example, I say 25 years ago, again, certain values are thought to be important to preserve, to promote, to talk about. Now, those values are not worthy of talking. If you talk those values, those things, people think, oh, he's very backward thinking. Mm-hmm. No? That's change of, that is impermanence of change. Third, impermanence of separation. Separation everything that is attached, one day it is separated. If you see nice fruit on a tree in your garden, even if you live like that, one day it falls down. And it will never go back. Never. And the crops, they come from earth, and it is harvested, used, eaten. They will never go back in the same spot, in the same way. The people they meet, many people we meet, if you go by metro, meet means just see each other. Then after some time, everybody goes in their own way. And very rarely see them again, together in the same way. That is impermanence of separation. Then there is impermanence of quickness or swiftness. Maybe I was talking with somebody about 10 days back, and then this morning I hear, oh, he had heart attack last night and gone like that. Certain manifestation of impermanence takes very quickly. And the fifth and the last is Chuniji Mitabha, natural impermanence. That's more general. Both animate and inanimate phenomena. Whichever have come into being will be dissolved or gone one day. Any living beings who are born will be dead one day. Okay, these are 5 points. Now, these points are not something complicated, not something subtle. These are something which everybody knows. But most people, they don't think about this. They prefer not to think, actually. Why think? Something to come in future, why we even die.
You guys ready for me to get personal?
Yeah.
My but, whole life, people doubted me.
If you
they didn't know
have
what
to
I
think
had inside
about
here. They didn't see 7 grams of protein or 6 essential nutrients. They just saw a tiny little peanut. But you gotta ignore your eyes.
Yeah.
Listen to the peanut. Believe in its power. See, I can't put the peanut inside your mouth. Only you can do that.
Yeah.
Only you can harness the power of the peanut.
Things they think you are silly. These are things everybody knows. They're not worth of talking or thinking. But the fact is, if you don't think, these facts remain there, and we will not be closer to these facts. We will not be closer to the realization of these facts. Okay? Generally, impermanence or mitakpa in Tibetan means whichever has come into being through a cause and condition is moving towards the end of that thing, whichever. Immediately after coming into being, it starts moving towards the end. That is the fact. And moving towards end, for that, there's no need of additional push, the cause which brought them into existence. Itself is the cause of moving towards end and finally perishing. That is the basic idea of impermanence. So on top of these five way of understanding and the of the impermanence, and then this basic idea of impermanence. On top of that, then we have to think the three sufferings. Three sufferings are the usual. Everybody must have heard suffering of suffering, suffering of change, and what is the third?
We say pervasive suffering of conditionality.
Very long. I like to say suffering of the system. Duje, the system itself is, structured in such a way that there is suffering in it. Duje, is a sanskar in Sanskrit. In India, people talk sanskar very often. Any people, educated or semi-educated, they say, this is our sanskar. Sanskar is kind of system. And the system, you can say all pervasive, khyabha. Khyabha is all pervasive. Duje is system. This is my own idea. If anybody thinks there's something wrong, please tell me. Suffering of suffering, suffering of change, and all pervasive. How do you say this system? Suffering? Systematic?
Systematic?
Huh?
All pervasive system.
Or suffering systemic. Of all pervasive.
Like Tom is saying, he says it's systemic. Suffering.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
systemic.
That's a good word.
It works. Oh, systemic. Nice, huh? To find some word. And I think everybody knows what these words mean. Suffering of suffering, we say. People always talk about hot and cold, changing from hot weather into cold. Suffering of suffering is any human being, any living being. Birds, animals, anybody can feel, try to escape. Hunger, heat, cold, etc. And suffering of change, actually, it means suffering of change means suffering by change. When it changes it makes, it becomes suffering. Yeah? Your way doing it, I understand. Jurna, jurvana, dunya. When it changes, it becomes dunya.
Mm-hmm.
Not just jurva, jurve dunya. Jurvana, dunya. Ayadeva again says that what we consider as pleasure or happiness is not happiness in reality, because that is just temporary cessation of some suffering. Temporary cessation of some suffering, we think it is happiness or pleasure. Deva is happiness.
Happiness, yeah.
Happiness is to do with mind normally, no?
Oh, yeah. Deva pleasure, is, maybe. Is pleasure, physical happiness, we don't say.
Yeah, pleasure.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Pleasure. Which is better? Pleasure or happiness?
They're both great. Pleasure might be a better word.
Okay. It's my pleasure. Okay. So, when a bigger suffering is changed into lesser suffering of that particular suffering, then it appears to us as pleasure, and we feel happy. But that's not dependable, because if that is real happiness or pleasure, by continuing the same condition, the happiness or pleasure should increase, which is not the case, because after some time, again, like cold and hot, you know, with or without air condition in a car, you switch off, it's hot, switch on, it's cold, pleasure. Again, but it's too cold, suffering, like that. Because it's not the case that you go on with that situation, that pleasure will diminish again. That is what I think Ayadeva said. Yeah, Pilsimbayi Deva, increasing the pleasure, how can it become? The opposite, if it is real pleasure. And it is said, as I said, you know, the disliking or distaste of suffering, even the animals and birds, etc., can also feel, and distaste or disliking to the second one, suffering of change, is understood by many rishis. Need not be Buddhist. you know, the Hindu system, their systematic meditation of samadhi. So they also renounce this second second kind of suffering. But that kind of renunciation doesn't lead to pavatanya. Pavatanya is seeking for liberation. That is about the suffering, truth of suffering. Second is the cause. Kunjung. Kunjung means source of all, the truth of source of all is the next. Kunjung, this truth of source of all, covers two things basically. Lay and nyamo, the karma and affliction, klesha, Sanskrit. Klesha comes first. And pleasure, due to pleasure, affliction, afflictive thought, afflictiveness, right?
Affliction, I think.
Affliction leads to karma, which further creates the problem of samsara. And what is nyamo? What is affliction in this case? At Tsongkhapa Lamrim Chemo, I remember reading. Nyamo, or affliction, means the thing which comes in your mind, your mental peace is disturbed. Your mind is disturbed. It creates trouble in your mind. That is nyamo or affliction, pleasure. How many nyamos? There are many nyamos. There are many afflictions. How much time do you have?
Today until 12.
Until 12, okay. They take this. I'm looking at the watch, which still is Indian time. Very much behind.
Lots of time.
Lots of time, yes. It's yet benign, but night. Nyamo or affliction, Sanyin Trup. Six root afflictions, nyenye nyesho, 20, nyewe nyomo,
secondary,
secondary nyomo, secondary afflictions, 20, etc. We'll try to go to the root new moons, root afflictions. First is docha, what's attachment. Attachment is a mental factor which makes your mind to be attached to something, be it a person, be it a nice furniture, be it a house, garden, money, maybe position. Your mind is attached. So attachment is a very good word, I think. It's like something is glued to something else. It's very difficult to take off. And it is said among the
harnessing the power of the peanut is about accepting the gifts that nature gives us. I'm sitting on six essential nutrients up here and protein. Those are just facts. I'm just saying facts with my face right now. But you gotta eat.
Departure, I would say. It prevents departure to liberation. You cannot depart because you are attached. You're glued. And it also invites, if you have an unwanted guest in your house, then that person can invite many other unwanted guests like that. Dosha or attachment invites other afflictions like Shedan, hatred, is it? Aversion?
Not very good.
Shedan.
Better hostility.
Okay, hostility. Hatred is control. Okay, let us stay with hostility. Hostility, jealous, etc. Attachment will invite the other unwanted guests, such as other afflictions. It makes to create new karma. It makes to increase the strength of old karmas. Like that. And as for the object of attachment, as I said, it can be person, non-person, position, and even like like behavior, Next is control. Punto is?
Punto. Anger or belligerence.
Maybe. Not hatred.
Hatred is shaitan.
Okay, anger. Punto is anger. Next is anger. Attachment, then anger. Anger is actually more than just anger. It has the idea of harming. A thought arises and you think of a person, for example, and then think that that makes you to move to harm that person. That is control.
Yeah, hostility is better.
Hostility. And shaitan is?
Shaitan may be hatred.
Hatred. Yeah. Why not aversion?
Aversion just means turning away like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Doesn't mean like anger or hatred or religion.
So control is hostility, I think, yeah. So as object of anger, as we know, mainly persons with whom we have disagreements, and old cases, and whom we think has harmed me in the past, and then wishing to get a chance to harm him is control. It's mainly towards a living being. But then it can also be towards non-sentience, like table. If something goes wrong.
Insentient.
Insentient.
Inanimate?
Yeah.
Inanimate.
Inanimate. Yes.
Or inanimate. Yeah.
Yeah. I know people hit a table, then sometimes I get angry to weather. I wanted to have a nice picnic. And it has been, the weather has been nice for so many days. The morning I go, it turns bad. So why? It's today like that. It means a thought of harming, but everybody knows you cannot harm weather, but it is kind of control. The function of control is it destroys the virtuous deeds accumulated earlier. It has special, it has a very strong capacity to destroy virtuous deeds accumulated. is nursing in the 10 non-virtuous states. There is one nursing. So we should think, what's the difference between control and nursing? What do you think? It's almost same, but they are counted separate.
Yeah, we say harmful thought or malice for that one. Malice.
Mm. Mm. Okay, we will see. We have attachment. We have anger. Then next is pride. Again, pride. Pride comes due to one's own knowledge, physical qualities, wealth, position, fame. Especially fame is more harmful than others, I think. If you get famous, then it creates many problems. Creates ngagel, the pride, and ngagel, the pride further creates, you know, not letting it go, you know, do anything, can go any extent to protect that fame, and, you know, and then those people, they can not. They cannot think of letting go that fame even after your death. Those people, they know they are going to die, but they think it's important that their fame remains. They want to erect their statue to be erected like that, you know. And how it's harmful, because if you have that pride, you don't bow down, you don't pay respect. You don't show respect. You don't consider others who are learned and who are, you know, more experienced and more wise than you. You disrespect them. By that, your own spiritual or positive qualities will not be developed. It stops development. It hinders development of your own spiritual qualities. Next is marikpa, ignorance. Ignorance in this case is ignorant, being ignorant about the working of cause and effect. In this case, ignorance refers to that particular ignorant which hinders the understanding, knowing the working of cause and effect. the karma system. And it is said, when you think about something spiritual, when you consider, when you investigate, when you are trying to do something mentally on spiritual thing, it goes suddenly blank. It makes you go blank suddenly. So I saw this suddenly going blank. I saw this. I read this in a Lamrim text by Shamar Kendun Tenzin Gyatso. Have you heard? Shamarwa, Amdo Shamarwa.
Oh.
It's one of the 18 texts that His Holiness put together, and he is giving teachings. And this Shamar, this particular Shamarwa, was great Gelugpa master from Amdo. And 13 Dalai Lama received many teachings from him. So Shamar and Shama should not be confused. At this point, let us have some question. Huh? I think so.
Okay. Anybody has questions, so just run them over to me, like Barbara.
When you're speaking about attachment, would that include attachment to the Dharma? How is that affected?
Does attachment include attachment to the Dharma?
Mm. Yes. It depends, actually, what do you mean by attachment to Dharma. If your attachment to Dharma is because it is my tradition, it's my Dharma, and then it is the attachment, ordinary attachment. Otherwise, the word attachment is sometimes also applied to the compassion. You have attachment to all sentient beings, but that is different. The same word, but different, totally different context. Yeah. Yingjie is also called attachment. Compassion is also called attachment in certain texts. That reminds me of a nice joke, Zen joke. Does anybody know about attachment? A joke. Very old Zen master, very old. He doesn't know any modern equipment and technology. He was truly, great Zen master, always engaged in meditation and practice. One day, one of his disciples went to him. I said, Master, I have a question. What is the question? He said, I use this modern social networking. Can I use email? The master says, what is email. He explained email. Master says, it's okay without attachment. And the disciple thought he understood. Okay, Master says, email without attachment is okay. Okay, one more question. Because that makes some kind of break. If there is some space, we can go further.
The five kinds of impermanence, I didn't get number one number two and number five.
Okay, number one is impermanence of destruction.
Number two is impermanence.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Will perish. Yes, please.
The impermanence of destruction for the life of the tree is the nature of a tree. Why is the impermanence of destruction for a union based on glaciers and climate?
Can you repeat?
The impermanence of destruction for a tree is based
for
on
tree.
Is based on the nature of the tree, but why is it that impermanence of destruction for humans is based on karma and the affliction?
Let me think if I understood. Destruction of a tree is based on nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Destruction means actual destruction. In this case, actual, understanding,
mm-hmm.
not just change in seasons.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody cuts tree, that's destruction.
Okay.
Now, destruction of human,
mm-hmm.
what did you say?
The destruction of the human body, the lifespan is limited. Just as the lifespan of a tree is limited.
Uh-huh.
But our limitations are based on karma and faith. It's not for the tree. So why?
Yeah, the tree, humans, their destruction is based on karma and the afflictions, whereas for the tree, it's not that way.
Hmm. Dissolution of human body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Natural dissolution. That's dying,
yeah.
And perishing the body. That is one thing.
Okay.
And destruction, what do you mean? Actually destroy?
No, so I mean dissolution.
Uh-huh. Okay. Human body, actually, for example, cremation, like in India. Hmm? Cremation, the body is subject here, not human life.
Yeah.
If we talk about destruction of human body,
mm-hmm.
we are not talking about human being, just the body. If it is cremated, it's burned in a few hours,
mm-hmm.
becomes ashes.
Mm-hmm.
if it is buried, it takes a long time to get it eaten by insects. That's the destruction. That is impermanence of destruction, yes. But that is not talking about human life, lifespan. They're not talking about lifespan.
So the lifespan of the tree versus the lifespan of a human.
Lifespan of the tree versus the lifespan of a human.
Lifespan of human, that is killing, actually, right? Destruction of lifespan means killing in the case of human.
I apologize. Maybe I'm talking about the impermanence of change. So let me try to clarify my question. She said, maybe why do humans function, our lifespan functions on karma, but not the lifespan of the tree? Doesn't function on karma. Why are we subject to karma and not a tree?
Oh, that's the question?
Or why is a tree not subject to karma and we are subject to karma?
Why is a tree not subject to karma and humans subject to karma?
Ask the tree. actually, the trees, whether they have life, what kind of life, this we really don't know. Philosophically, I mean, according to the ancient Buddhist philosophy, trees don't have mind or consciousness. That is emphasized. But the life, what do we mean life, you know? And the life, if it has, I think it has a kind of life, because it has a certain thing which makes it alive. But what kind of consciousness they have or they don't have, we don't know. Does anybody know? If they have kind of consciousness, then whether they are subject to the karma. It should be thought out. I don't know. Anybody wants to?
When you were addressing both attachment and then working to clarify the definition.
Oh, you're going to another
question?
First, anybody has any idea about this subject? Yeah.
The Bon tradition. Bon, B-O-N, right? Bon. Isn't that early sort of natural animistic view that could conceivably posit a kind of spirit to nature. In that sense, maybe, you know, I'm getting sort of that feeling from, you know, which mixed, I think, at some point. So that's sort of the vibe I'm getting from your question, that in a sense it's very animistic, like trees and nature has spirit. Is that sort of, and therefore, if it has a soul, does it therefore have karma? Is that related to your question?
I was thinking more of how does karma work for humans?
Okay, simple answer. Because humans do things with intention.
Mm-hmm.
Trees don't. So that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do things intentionally. Even they have some kind of consciousness, even, I'm saying. They don't do things intentionally. They grow, they stay,
mm-hmm.
they cannot move. If they want to move there, they cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But they still experience.
How do you know this experience?
Well, there actually has been some studies that show that there's been, but I don't know. But I can visually look myself, I can say, they still experience.
Yes, there is some effect.
Yeah.
There is some effect. There is effect,
right, there's effect.
From outside cause.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk to plants, I know, and it makes difference. So, because of the strength, or because the words,
mm-hmm.
the verbal verbal what?
Sound. I think.
Yeah.
Sound.
Anyway, verbal things have effect, so it makes some effect. And you know, that's, and also the words, if it is like mantra,
mm-hmm.
mantras are the names of enlightened beings. It has, of course, additional power because of that, but otherwise also, if you repeat it many times, it gains some power.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was explaining. You have two bottles of water from the same source, and you say good things to one, and the to the other, say you're bad and all that. And then if you take them, the effect is different. One Korean master, Buddhist master, he was talking and showing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have for us. You raise some another.
Thank you. When you're addressing attachment, and especially, you're correct that I often read it as aversion. But you were saying there are two words, and I don't know Tibetan enough, or I think you're teaching Tibetan. One was Josh. Suggested hostility. The other was something slightly different. But you were saying
attachment, right? Is not hostility. Attachment, no problem. It's attachment is good.
Okay.
It is the second one, control,
control?
Anger,
yeah.
Anger or aversion or
hostility.
Hostility. Mm-hmm. These are very close. So you don't know how to make clear difference.
Well, the thing I was trying to stay with was in anger, often in English, is not an intention to do something. It's a feeling internally.
Oh.
And I believe you were saying there has to be a destructive intention for it to be contra. Is that correct?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Contra. Also not intention. Nobody wants to be angry. You become angry. The anger comes uninvited. Not that you think, oh, now I must be angry. I want to be angry. No. Right?
Well, the reason I was wondering about this, an American Buddhist that people here know, Harvey Aronson, he's also a psychologist, an American psychologist, and he felt that was a very important distinction for Americans, because he felt Americans who get depressed often are not in enough contact with their anger, and they need to understand anger more, but it is not destructiveness. That there's a distinction to be made, and I wonder if what you were saying matches that to some extent.
Okay. He's saying is, like an American, you know, Annie's husband, Anne Klein's husband, Harvey Aronson, was making a distinction that when people get depressed, then they have some anger there, but they don't understand that they're angry. But that anger is not harmful anger. They're not intending to hurt anybody, and so. Really, for people to understand the word anger or kontra, they have to understand that there's some kind of intent to harm back, right? To hurt back when you have that hostility. That's why we use the word hostility, because it means you want to hurt somebody. It doesn't mean just anger.
There is an object of hurt. The object of the hurt is oneself in depression. The anger is turned on oneself. These are Western approaches.
Yeah, there's also the idea that with kontra, you're trying to hurt somebody else. You're not trying to hurt yourself.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
You try to, yeah.
You're thinking to hurt, like you said, yeah. Wishing to hurt someone. Yeah.
Someone, not necessarily someone else.
Oh, it could be a table, yeah.
Yeah, table, trying to commit suicide and things.
Hurt yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kontra. And that's
that is kontra. I think that's kontra.
Yeah, right. Hurt yourself, hurt the table, hurt somebody else.
Yeah, intending to hurt someone. Yeah, that's good.
Want to clarify the thought of this. Attachment is the root of anger. Yes.
I wouldn't say it is the root, but the attachment brings many other afflictions, such as anger, jealousy, and others. Yes?
So, to someone who is ignorant or affected and so forth, what is your view of the responsibility of someone who is, say, a bodhisattva on the path? What is that person's responsibility to these other people? Mm-hmm. How do you see that responsibility?
What is a bodhisattva's responsibility to people who are afflicted or under the influence of the affliction?
Yeah, that's clearly trying to help.
So
because Bodhisattva's vow clearly says that, you know, I'll work for the benefit of all the others, dedicate myself totally for others. So naturally, it is the responsibility of bodhisattvas to try to help.
Well, let me give you an example. I have a friend right now. He has to make an important decision about going to the hospital and having a certain procedure. Some of his friends who are doctors, some of He's an elderly person. So do I have a compassion? You know,
yes.
Do I be very vocal? Do I, you know, I could see getting angry at him because I care for him. And so, no, you know, most people, this study show, you shouldn't do this. And the doctors are asking you to do this. Chances are, you know, so they can make money or drive, you know, a bigger car. Going to go to Bermuda for the weekend. So what, how strong do I struggle with how strong I should be with my friend? Should I, you know, what's my responsibility?
Mm.
It's, you know, it's difficult for me to know what to say and to know how assertive I need to be.
Yeah, what responsibility do you have for towards a person who is going to undergo some unnecessary procedure in the hospital?
Yeah, if you know these procedures are unnecessary, then I think it is your responsibility to try to avoid that. If you know.
But more than saying, is there anything else to you? More than just bringing it to this person's attention, that's
more than saying, try your best. Huh? What else? And not be possible to stop physically? I don't know. These things depends on particular situation, right? Is it time to stop?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we will reconvene at 2:30. Here with Rinpoche, and then with Amy, the class is at 12:45, is it? No, 12:45, right? How is it? 1:30, okay. 1:30. 1:30 for the discussion group.
Yeah,
we have a discussion group here.
They formulate questions because they can ask you at the beginning of the next.
Dear Sweet Tooth, I love you. Chocolatey Delight Pastry Crisps from Special K. Two delicious crisps.